before I left my coat on. So I would still look, what was it, Ellen? So I'd still look, what was that?
Prissy,
yeah. I hadn't been called that in a long time. All right, if you're following along, you can turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Now I've got to take those off because I can't see up close with them on. And that doesn't mean I can't see you folks in the back. It might be blurry, but I can still see if you're carrying on. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I mentioned last week that I had something on my mind, and I mentioned a little bit of it, of what I was going to speak about this morning, but another passage was brought to my attention, and I just couldn't get away from it. I just kept thinking about it, and as Tim James says, just mulling over it and mulling over it. It's the last two verses of Hebrews chapter 10. It's mainly one phrase there, but we'll read both verses for just some context. Where the apostle writes, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back," that is to draw back from what? Well, the context is to draw back from faith. "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back," and you can't draw back from where you haven't been. Is that not correct? I mean, you can't draw back from where you haven't been. So again, I say, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. And that means utter ruin. These people here, this phrase, if they draw back, they draw back and they're goners. It will be clearly made manifest that they're goners. Now, you and I may not know it right off, but the manifestation is there, whether we recognize it or not. There are those, Paul said, but we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. But then here's the phrase. I thought about it. It struck me. But, and we can say we can add that in, because we're not of them who draw back to perdition. We are what? But of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Think of the glory of that statement. That Paul, I believe it's Paul, but that's not what I'm here to argue about this morning, that the apostle Paul, speaking of men and women, even boys and girls, can say that through believing, that they can believe to the saving of the soul. That's glorious, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
That's gracious. And that's a blessedness that is beyond human words to describe. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, let me ask this question, then I'll try to answer it. Is believing such a common occurrence as is professed today? Is believing? Yes. It is a common occurrence. Because there are some people who believe to the saving of the soul. And there are other people who believe, but it is not to the saving of the soul. Again, what I said, my question, is believing such a common occurrence as is professed today? Yes, millions believe. As a matter of fact, our Lord put it this way, many would believe. Now, he didn't use those words, but he says many enter into the broad way. But few enter into the straight and narrow way. You see, there's many who believe, but there's few who believe to the saving of the soul. Now, somebody says, is there a difference? Yeah, there is a difference. The sad thing is, Paul here is not talking about some group of heretics. Let me be so blunt as to say, Paul's not talking about Arminians here. Paul's not talking about free willers. That's not who he's talking about. Paul's even including here on some who draw back, and some who even draw back where? Unto utter ruin. He said, now we're not like them, but where do they draw back from? They're not drawing back from error. That wouldn't matter.
Exactly.
would it? To draw back from error would make no difference. If to go from one error to another error is error. But to leave the truth, to abandon the truth, and in more particular, to abandon believing the truth. Because that's what he says. Now, if the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back from what? From faith. And turn to, somebody says, turn to works. No, turn to anything else. Anything else. Yes, a majority in this country believe.
Yes, sir.
No, they've had, I think Earl mentioned years ago, and it wasn't a countrywide study, but it was more limited, and it was like 98.6 or whatever it was. You know, it was well above 90% of the people interviewed said they were Christians.
Yeah.
Now, get that. So a majority of this country, it may be less now, because things do seem to be declining quite a bit. But yes, a majority in this country believe, but a minority believe to the saving of the soul.
Exactly.
Now, here's the thing. You ask 10 different people why this is so, and you will probably get as many different opinions. In other words, what's the difference between merely believing and then believing to the saving of the soul? What's the actual difference? One thing I'm sure of, while you'll get all these different opinions, one thing I'm sure of, all of these different opinions will have one common denominator in probably the majority of these 10 people you ask. They will put it this way. It may be worded in different phraseology or whatever. It's going to boil down to this. The difference is this. Their works does not equal their profession.
Exactly.
Don't you figure that's the way most people would answer? What's the difference between people who believe and make it, let me put it that way, and people who believe and don't make it?
Yeah.
Most people's answer, or their opinion, it'd be their answer, but it's an opinion, would be that their works does not equal their profession. According to the apostle here, the just shall live by what? Faith, not works. And I'm here to say this morning, to declare without argument, and I'm not here to argue or debate this fact, that there may be some people who believe that won't make it, who have more works than some people who believe to the saving of the soul. The difference is not their works does not equal their profession. Not a one of our works equals our profession.
Amen. Amen.
That's the fact.
That's it.
My works will never equal my profession.
Yeah.
I profess to know the God of all glory.
Yes, sir.
Some of you profess to know the God of all glory. Does your works equal that? No. We know better, don't we? But this is the way the world of religion thinks. As a matter of fact, these people who don't believe to the saving of the soul, that's what they're depending on,
yeah,
is that their works equals their profession. Now, is this what the Scripture's answer is as to why many may believe, but few believe to the saving of the soul? Is this what the Scripture says, that simply their works don't cut it? We know James says faith without works is dead. Now, what most people do is they say, all right, what you need is this faith that everybody's capable of. And if you exercise that faith, and if that's a genuine, sincere effort of your own, then works will follow. They think that's what James is teaching. But that ain't what James says. James says faith without works is dead. So there is a faith that doesn't have works, and it is what? Dead. It's a dead faith, but it's a faith nonetheless. But it's a dead faith. You see, a dead man's still a man. He's just a dead man. And faith is still faith, but it may be dead faith. And there's a difference between living faith and dead faith. Dead faith is in dead people. Living faith is in living people. But let me tell you, some people with dead faith still have works. They go to Sunday school. They go to church every time the doors are open. They witness on soul winning night. They give of their tithes, right? They do all of these religious things, yet Yet James is not simply talking about religious works. He doesn't say faith without religious works is dead. The context is this, and it would be a better rendering of the word, faith without obedience is dead. Because the two examples that James gives is far beyond our comprehension of being good works. Abraham was going to kill his boy. And Rahab told a lie about where the spies were. And those were the works that validated the reality of their faith. Was it not? These were not what we call religious works, are they? All right, today we're going to have a lying session. Huh? But is that not the truth? Abraham raised up that knife, and Abraham was not waiting on God to stop him. The writer of this book itself says Abraham had faith that God would raise him up again. He knew God had promised through that one boy, you're going to have a multitude of a family. So Abraham had not planned on believing God will stop me. Abraham said, I'm going to kill that boy like God said, and God will raise him up again. And then Rahab the harlot, and that's what she's always called except for one place, and that's in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ. And yet Rahab the harlot, her good work was what? Where did those men go? We seen them in your abode. We seen them in your house. They were witnessed here. And what did she say? They went that way.
That's right.
Isn't that what she done?
Yes, sir.
When they were on her rooftop, hidden underneath a pile of flags. Yes, faith without works is dead, but who are we to determine what those works are?
Exactly.
There you go.
Hmm? Sometimes things we think's a good work may be a stench in God's nostrils. And sometimes a work that we may think, well, why in the world did that person do that? They may have did it because of the power of God Almighty in their heart and mind. Which one of us wants to try to validate a lie? Huh? That'd be a hard thing to do, wouldn't it, Mac? But yet, that's the facts. That's the facts. The scripture doesn't give the answer, their works doesn't equal their profession, because no man's does.
Exactly.
Nobody's does. Listen, the Jehovah's Witness don't live up to what they believe. And neither do we free grace people.
Exactly.
We don't live up to what we believe. I remember what R.C. Sproul wrote, and this is not a quote, but he said, men like me get up and declare the holiness of Almighty God. And we cannot make him or declare him holy enough.
Exactly.
You know, I can't overdo God's holiness. He is that holy. And yet the more you declare, not just me, not just R.C. Sproul, but the more you and I declare the holiness of God, the more people expect us to be holy like that.
Yeah.
And we can't be.
Exactly.
Our responsibility is not as believers to be as holy as God. We should be holy. God tells us, be holy, for I am holy. But he doesn't tell us, be as holy as I am, does he? He never commands us to that, because that is an actual impossibility. No, God Almighty is holy, but the more we declare the holiness of God, the more holy people expect us to be. Let me tell you, the problem is this. It doesn't have anything to do with works. It's the kind of faith that a person has that matters.
Yes, sir.
You see, faith is vital.
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 11, verse 6, right? Faith is vital. It says, Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For the person that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So faith is vital, but all faith is not equal.
Exactly.
Now, by what I have determined from Scripture, there may be more, but I haven't found it. But there is in Scripture three kinds of faith. Let me note that term. There is demonic faith. There is human faith. And then there is spiritual faith.
Yes, sir.
Now, the important thing for my soul is which one do I have?
Exactly.
That's the important thing. Millions of people believe, but they don't even believe the Bible.
Exactly.
Now, we automatically discount them, don't we? We automatically discount them. But the fact is, they still believe, do they not?
Yes, sir.
There are, Mason, there are hundreds, if not thousands, of religions. And people sincerely, honestly, believe these religions and devote themselves to these religions. They are believers.
Yes, sir.
They are believers, but they are not spiritual believers.
There
are people who believe in spiritualism, but they don't have spiritual faith.
Exactly.
There are people who are spiritualists, but that doesn't mean they have spiritual faith. Now, spiritual faith alone guarantees believing to the saving of the soul. And the vital question for me is, which one do I have?
Yeah.
That's the question. Because if I have spiritual faith, I'm okay. If I have spiritual faith, the very works... No, even more, the very good works I'm supposed to walk in, those very good works, God's ordained that I walk in them.
Exactly.
Therefore I shall. If I have spiritual faith, if I've been created in Christ Jesus. But if all I have is human faith, or all I have is that which is motivated, I should at least say, by a demonic faith, if that's all I have, demonic or human, it not only doesn't benefit me, it adds to the condemnation of my soul.
Amen. That's right.
Spiritual, I say it again, spiritual faith alone guarantees believing to the saving of the soul. Anybody, somebody said, you say men can't believe. No, I say they can't believe Christ. They can't love Christ. They can't follow Christ. There are people who accuse us of saying, you don't believe man has a will. Oh, no. We believe man has a will. And we believe man makes choices.
Yes, sir.
He makes decisions. But they're all depraved. They're all in enmity against God. Man has a will. It's just a fallen will.
Exactly.
It's a will that cannot choose to love God.
Yes,
sir. So again, I'll say it. Spiritual faith alone guarantees believing to the saving of the soul. Which one do you have if you say you believe? Well, if I believe, I believe. That's all it takes. No, that ain't all it takes. Think about this. A spiritual faith is a singular faith, not an amalgamation of different beliefs.
Amen.
That's right.
Because everybody on this earth believes something.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, there are people, when you talk about believing Christ, they'll say, well, I believe if I plant these seeds, these crops will grow. That is faith. But it's not spiritual faith.
Exactly.
It's human faith. And as a matter of fact, let me say this, demonic faith and human faith can look very much like spiritual faith. Yes, it can, as we will, God willing, see. But before we look at that, again, let me remember, a spiritual faith is a singular faith, not an amalgamation of different beliefs. In other words, let me put it this way. Well, I know what I believe. I believe this way, therefore I'm okay. No, that's not necessarily so. Unless you believe the truth, you're not okay. Four things here concerning this fact that faith is a singular faith. Spiritual faith is common, that word, common in all who have it. Titus 1 verse 4. As Paul writes to Titus and says, I'm writing to you of the common faith. Secondly, spiritual faith is mutual in all who have it. Romans 1, verse 12, where the Apostle Paul, writing to the believers at Rome, says he's writing concerning the mutual faith that is in you all. Now, if something's common and mutual, what's that mean? It means it's not different, right? It means it's the same. You see, if I have spiritual faith, you better have the same kind.
Yes, sir.
If you want to make it to glory. If you've got spiritual faith, I better have the same kind if I want to make it to glory.
Yes, sir.
Somebody saying, you got to believe like I believe? I know. You got to have the same kind of faith I have.
Yeah.
If I have spiritual faith.
That's it. Yeah.
If you have spiritual faith, I've got to have that same kind because it's common and mutual to all, but it's more than that. Thirdly, spiritual faith is a household. Galatians 6, verse 10. Now, what is a household? Now, the Greek word here is not just a motel where different kinds of people come together and live or stay. It's a household. What's a household? A family.
Yes, sir.
Family are like, kind. You get the implication here? Spiritual faith is a household. Galatians 6:10, where Paul calls it the household of faith. Fourthly, in other words, Peter kind of sums it up. 2 Peter 1:1. It is called, Peter puts it this way, like precious faith. And no, he's not using the word like most people use it today, which gets on my nerves. It's like, I don't know why in the world I said that out loud, but I did. Peter said, it's like precious faith. Demonic faith is real, but it's not a spiritual value. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I've just said, demonic faith is real. It's not pretended. It's real. It's not an anomaly. That is something that happens out of the ordinary. Demonic faith is real, but it's of no spiritual value. That's why James says, you believe in one God? You believe. Thousands, millions of people believe in one God. And James gets a little cantankerous. A little smart aleck, if you will. He says, you do well. You believe in one God, you do well. He says, the devils believe. And more than that, what do? The devils believe and tremble. Yes, now, if that's all I got, I ain't got enough.
Exactly.
But guess what? The devils also obey.
Yes, sir.
Do they not?
Yes, sir.
Satan himself, both Satan, not just Satan, but Satan and his minions are compelled to submit to God's desire. They can go no further than what God Almighty lets them go. Job chapter 1. And let me just turn back there. And let's read that. If you're following along, you can turn back there. And you remember the scenario here. That, and most people kind of try to indicate that Job came up to appear before God with all the other sons of God. What are we talking about? The angels. And Mac, that's whether fallen angels or elect angels. They came to what? Present themselves before the Lord. Why? Because they had to. Because God Almighty made them do so. Somebody says, when is that time? I don't know. Is it still going on today? I suspect it is. But here is even, and it says, Satan himself appears before the Lord. And it is God Almighty that brings up the subject of Job.
Yes, sir.
And says, have you considered my servant Job? And basically says, Satan says, yes, but I can't touch him.
That's right.
You won't let me.
Yep.
Now wait a minute, I thought Satan being the arch enemy, it was like this great struggle between good and evil.
Exactly.
Is that the way the scripture presents God and Satan?
Yeah,
no. Yet this is what most people believe. Right? This is what most people believe. But what does it say? Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast thou not made an hedge about him and about his house, about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in his hand. Put forth thine hand now, and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. The Lord said unto Satan, behold, everything that he has is yours but his life. And you can't touch his life.
Right.
Do you think Satan disobeyed that command?
No.
Why? Because he believed God and trembled.
Yes, sir.
He couldn't help it. Couldn't help it. Let me tell you something. Satan's got more obedience than some humans do.
Yes, sir.
What about those demons? You remember the demons, and it's mentioned in two or three different writers, but mainly look at Mark chapter 5, verses 1 through 13 sometimes. And you find our Lord coming upon this crazy man. A man who, when they put his hands in chains, he was able to pick his way out of those chains. And when they wrapped his hands in fetters, he could break those fetters. This guy was bonkers. He was nuts. He ran through the tombs naked. And nobody could keep him under check. And our Lord comes along. And this man answers, "Are you come to torment me before the time?" But you find out as the man is speaking, you find out it's not really the man speaking. Who is speaking? It's a legion of demons in this man. And they say, through this man, now it's one man talking, but it's a legion of demons behind this voice, right? And they say, "We know who you are, thou Son of God." And when they realized, when they recognized that Christ was there to cast them out of this demoniac, out of this man, they did not want to leave the country. They did not want to be banned to another place, let alone banned to hell. So they asked if they could go into the herd of swine. And you know what Mark says? And Jesus gave them leave. The devils believe and tremble. Now we know why James says that, right? David, he didn't just come up with that off the top of his head. It's a fact of history. Satan and his minions' faith is real. It's real. But let me tell you, say this, human faith is real also. But let me give you six characteristics of human faith, and I'll try to move along. Human faith is temporary. Hebrews 10:38, Luke 8:13. It lasts for only a time. And the sense in which it lasts for only a time is religiously. When human faith tries to lay hold of God's truth, it only lasts for a while. Now, human faith can lay hold of lies. It'll believe it till it dies. But when human faith can lay hold of truth. But because it can't love it as well, it's only temporary. So human faith is temporary. Or human faith is easily offended. John 6:66 and Mark 4:17. And this is even when human faith lays hold of truth.
Yes, sir.
It is that very truth that soon offends human faith, and human faith lets go. It's offended. Thirdly, human faith is ill-placed. Matthew 7:26-27. Remember the guy that built his house upon the sand? Now there was a guy that built his house upon the rock.
Yes,
right? But both of them had houses. Both of them had faith.
Yes, sir.
Both of them believed. But the one man's faith was ill-placed, was it not? Or human faith is engaged in for expediency's sake. Acts 8:9-23. That's what Simon the sorcerer did. He had for a long time, Luke says, bewitched the people, and he had gained money from these people. Mason, he was making a living out of this bewitching. But when the majority of the people believed what Philip was preaching, he said, "Whoops, my occupation is gone. I'd best join up." And he did. It says he believed. Now I've heard people say, well, he says, what it's trying to say is he said he believed. No, he believed. And he was baptized. He believed just as really as he was baptized. And just as real as he followed Philip. Right? Because it says he believed, he was baptized, and he followed Philip. All three of those are real.
Yes, sir.
But what was his problem? His heart still wasn't right in the sight of God.
Amen.
So if you think just because you believe God's fixed you up, you got another thing coming.
Exactly.
Because unless you got spiritual faith, you ain't fixed up.
That's right.
Unless I got spiritual faith, I ain't fixed up.
That's it.
But even worse than that. I said I'll give you six. It's worse than that. Human faith cannot believe the truth and love it. And love it. John 8:30-47, it says of some people who believed just prior to that, And moments later, they're trying or wanting to kill Jesus Christ. And he says, you can't hear my word and you can't believe it. Now, wait a minute. It doesn't say they believed.
Yeah.
Evidently, this believing Joe's got to be different. There's a different kind of believing here, is it not?
That's it.
So human faith cannot believe the truth and love it. And that's a large group of people's problem. It says that God would send them strong delusion. It says, why? Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you're here this morning, you believe the truth. If you don't love it, you're still lost.
Amen. That's right.
And if you love something, I've said it over and over, if you love something, it's going to be at the top of your priority list. If your faith, when I talk about faith, I don't mean faith itself, but faith looks to something. If your faith is anywhere below number one, you ain't got spiritual faith. Well, spiritual faith holds to Jesus Christ as preeminent.
Yes, yeah.
And how's that manifested? Let me tell you how it's manifested. It's manifested in love for his people and love for his gospel, and not necessarily in that order.
Yeah.
It's love for his gospel first and foremost. And then you can't love his gospel and not love his people.
Amen.
Because if you understand even the inkling about his gospel, you're going to love the other people that love his gospel. So fifthly, it cannot believe the truth and love it. And sixthly, I've already mentioned it, human faith believes the lie.
Yes, sir.
So there is a belief that believes the wrong thing, right?
Yeah.
God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. They're going to believe, but they ain't going to believe to the saving of the soul.
Exactly.
Are they? Now let me move ahead. Spiritual faith is the opposite of these six human traits. I said it's temporary. Scripture says of spiritual faith, these all died in faith.
Amen.
So spiritual faith ain't temporary. Second, I said it's easily offended. Peter said, to whom shall we go?
Right.
When he says, does this offend you? You going to leave too? Peter said, I got no place else to go.
Exactly.
So spiritual faith is not so easily offended. Now the person may be, but the faith ain't.
Amen.
Thirdly, I said human faith is ill-placed. Remember, the one guy built his house upon the rock. Right. Fourthly, I said human faith is engaged in for expediency's sake. They do it because it's to their physical advantage, temporal advantage. Scripture says concerning his people, the few that be that find it, he calls it a straight and narrow way. That means you go in by yourself.
Yes, sir.
You don't take your family with you. You go in by yourself, even if your family stays outside.
Yes,
if they go to hell, bye-bye. Go on to hell. I don't want to go to hell. They enter the straight and narrow way. Fifthly, I said human faith cannot believe and love the truth. According to Paul, when he's writing to Titus, he calls it the faith of God's elect. And it's to the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Now let me just kind of interject this here. That is this common faith. That is this mutual faith. That is this household of faith. It's called here, when Paul was writing to Titus, the faith of God's elect. Now, how can you have that faith and then hate election?
Exactly.
Now, you might not know about election and still have the faith of God's elect.
Yes, sir.
But if you're given the faith of God's elect, eventually you'll come to love the election.
Yes, sir.
Because it's the faith of God's elect. Sixthly, I said human faith believes the lie. You know what spiritual faith does? It rejects the lie.
Yes,
so much so that it'll even reject the man who holds to it and won't quit.
Yeah.
Because Paul said a man that's a heretic after the first and second admonition, what does it say to do? Reject him. Why? Just because he's a bad person? No, we're bad people too. But he's holding to the lie.
Yeah.
And we're not giving him the benefit of the doubt here. We're giving him three chances to straighten up. And if he don't, reject him. So spiritual faith is the opposite of human faith. But it's much more than that. Spiritual faith is not human faith enlivened by the Spirit of God. You see what I'm saying? Spiritual faith is not human faith motivated by the Spirit of God. Our Lord said, John 3, verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So if you have human faith, that's all it'll ever be, is human faith. And you will never, with that human faith, believe to the saving of your soul. But if you have spiritual faith, and spiritual faith can only come from what? The Spirit. Right? That's why I'm terming it spiritual faith. Now, somebody say, those three phrases are not in the Bible. I say, don't be an idiot. And don't put a black stain on your soul by rejecting words or phrases I come up with simply because they're not directly stated in the King James Version. There is demonic faith, there is human faith, and there's spiritual faith. And it's testified to in the Scripture. But look at it. Here's what I said. Spiritual faith is much more than just the opposite of these six traits of human faith. Three things. Spiritual faith is such because it is the fruit of deity himself. If you have spiritual faith, it's because God Almighty gave it to you. The fruit of the Spirit is love. You can't love God without the Spirit of God. First, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, and what else? Faith. Right? Faith. Spiritual faith is spiritual faith because it's the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. Secondly, spiritual faith is genuine and unpretended. 1 Timothy 1 and 5 says it's unpretended. Mark 9 and 24 says it's genuine. And thirdly, spiritual faith is not by human power. See, spiritual faith is not human faith mustered up to lay hold of God. Human faith can only do that for a time and so far, but it can't go the distance, and it can't love the truth. You see, a human faith may lay hold of the truth, but it'll wane. It'll wax old. Scripture says the love of many shall what? And you know, I'm going to go on. Think about it. Spiritual faith is not by human power. Here's how believing takes place spiritually. Ephesians 1:19, we believe by God's own power. Yeah. According to Acts chapter 18, verse 27, we believe by grace. Yes, sir. That we have nothing to do with. We are the most ungracious creatures that ever walked. Amen. I am, and you are too. Yeah. And I'm not asking you to forgive me for saying that about you, because you're just like I am. We are the most ungracious creatures that ever existed. The devils believe and tremble. We in our human faith rarely do that, do we? Believing, though, is by grace. By God's power, it's by grace. And men believe spiritually because they're ordained by God to believe at a specific time. And as many as heard the word of God, they heard the word of God, and it, or says that these Gentiles heard the word of God, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Amen. Is it any wonder that Paul would declare, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Amen. Why? Because there's a lot of faith out there. Yeah. Well, yeah. But there's only one faith that causes a person to believe to the saving of the soul. Now consider this. Two people believe two different ways and different things about Jesus Christ, about man. Two different people believe two different ways and things about Christ and about man. Thus the following might be true. I said might be true. The one believes to the saving of the soul. The other does not, no matter how much they believe. Or neither of them believe to the saving of the soul. But one thing is true by Scripture. If they believe differently, both cannot believe to the saving of the soul. Because there is one belief that is to the believing of the saving of the soul. So again, I'll close by this. Somebody says, well, you're saying I got to believe like you. No, I'm not saying you got to believe like me. But you have to have the same precious, like precious faith as me, if I have spiritual faith. Yes, sir. Somebody says, well, I know what I believe. Well, just hang on to it then. You go right ahead. Well, I don't agree with that. Now, they always say I don't agree with you. Yeah. But what I'm trying to preach is from this word, yeah, not my opinion. Exactly. Somebody said, well, I don't agree with you. That's the way they say it. But what they mean is I don't agree with that. This, God's book. But they'll say it that way to put the onus on you or me. I don't believe like you, so you're telling me I'm lost. And you know what? We might as well just quit playing around with them. You're right. Because I believe and love the truth. And you're going to come to love and believe the truth if God Almighty ever saves you. You will believe to the saving of the soul, and you'll start believing the truth. And you'll love it.
Yep.
You'll love it. Father, I pray as we continue on here that it may be to some degree, Lord, by thy grace and certainly by thy forgiveness through the blood of Christ, that it might be an honor and to some praise to thy holy and glorious name. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen. All right, Paul, you can turn that off and do whatever you got to do, and then Joe.